From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, April 6th. Coming up, when the University of Illinois got into broadcasting, they had a dream of using the airwaves to bring knowledge to anyone with a radio. It began 100 years ago tonight on what would become WILL AM. More in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois teachers and school staff who are vaccinated against COVID-19 are now eligible for paid sick leave for any virus-related days off. Caroline Kobzanski has more.
The law also restores sick days that vaccinated school and higher education staff used when they were sick, in quarantine, or had to tend to a family member. Governor J.B. Pritzker says providing this time for education staff to care for their kids is a crucial way to support them.
On top of all that they've shouldered over these past 2 years, they were dealing with all the same worries and what-ifs of any parent.
Pritzker vetoed a bill in January that would have given all teachers paid time off regardless of their vaccination status. The law is effective immediately. I'm Caroline Kobzanski.
The Illinois Department of Children and Family Services is severely understaffed, even as caseloads surge. That means fewer investigators are available to take on more cases. DCFS currently reports a 21.2% statewide investigator vacancy rate, a problem it blames on a surging investigation caseload over the last 12 months. Charles Goldberg is the Cook County Public Guardian and a frequent DCFS critic.
Every year, DCFS has an excuse du jour, and no more excuses. DCFS has to fix this, or we'll continue to see children and caseworkers alike continue to be at risk of serious harm and even death, as we've seen.
The latest numbers come from a filing DCFS made with a federal judge in Chicago last week, providing an update on the 30-year-old BH consent decree that requires the department to maintain a maximum 6% vacancy rate. Champaign teachers voted 76% to 24% to ratify their new contract rather than go on strike. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports.
Roughly 700 teachers assembled at Champaign Centennial High School yesterday to vote on their next contract. The agreement with Unit 4 does lengthen the school day, something the Board of Education has pushed, but teachers say will burn them out. Mike Sitch is co-president of the Champaign Federation of Teachers.
I think it's really important that when the board and the administration sees the vote and the results of the vote, that they know that their people aren't okay, right? The people they're tasking to do the job have major concerns.
The contract would extend the elementary school day by 35 minutes for students and 5 minutes for teachers, starting in the fall of 2023. The school board votes on Monday. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Still to come, as we celebrate WILL's 100th anniversary today, Jim Meadows looks back at how the station signed on and then evolved through its early years. That's coming up next on 217 Today.
Mustang, Morgan, Appaloosa, Quarter Horse. The PBS series Nature explores each of these iconic breeds in the documentary American Horses. From New England homesteads to tribal lands in the West, learn how the horse has played an integral role in our nation's history. You'll love the beautiful scenes of horses in action, frolicking in sagebrush, galloping through autumn foliage, and racing across the Pony Express Trail. Stream this and other science films as a friend of WILL. Learn how at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. 100 years ago this evening, the University of Illinois radio station went on the air for its first broadcast. The service that would become WILL Radio was cutting-edge technology in 1922, and Americans were still figuring out what role it would play in their lives. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows looks back in this report.
That's Paul Whiteman's band and their version of April Showers, one of the hit songs of 1922. And it was on a Thursday evening in April that the University of Illinois' WRM Radio, which would eventually be renamed WILL, went on the air for the first time. The student newspaper, the Daily Illini, reported on that first broadcast with a front-page article.
Radio service spreads news of university. With the simplicity of talking into a telephone mouthpiece, Dean Thomas Arkell Clark inaugurated the radio broadcasting service of the university last night at the Electrical Engineering Laboratory.
Dean Clark's talk on why college students fail was followed by other short talks on dairy science and park development, as well as news about U of I athletics, construction of the new Memorial Stadium, and a few jokes thrown in for good measure. Soon, the campus auditorium, called Folinger Auditorium today, was wired for radio, and WRM was bringing its listeners live concerts by student musical groups. Like the Varsity Men's Glee Club, sounding like they did in this WILL recording made years later. WRM broadcast its first Illini football game in 1923, and game broadcasts would be a regular feature of the station up into the 1970s. But the station's output was modest at first, broadcasting just once or twice a week, with a focus on faculty lectures and student musical performances. University of Illinois trustees made it clear that they wanted to provide an educational service. University President David Kinley wasn't ready to spend a lot of money on radio, and he complained in a letter to a trustee about the extra work WRM was creating.
They seem to think that we people here are not busy and have leisure enough to be putting on programs, giving lectures, etc., for broadcasting. I cannot myself see that there is any advantage in its accepting what might be credited to advertising.
But University of Michigan media historian Susan Douglas says others in the academic realm saw radio as a new way to educate America.
You know, radio was accompanied by a host of utopian predictions about educating people, about uplifting the illiterate, about radio becoming a giant university, you know, in the sky, where people could hear lectures that they could never hear in person because they were too far away or they didn't have the money to go to school.
The Daily Illini was among those early optimists. After WRM's first broadcast, an editorial in the student newspaper predicted that the station would help deepen old college ties.
Through the newly licensed radio broadcasting station here, the university will gain one distinct and outstanding advantage, a better informed alumni. Conveying the sounds of university life will give a much more personal touch than the cold, blank type of newspaper and magazine correspondence.
Folks, now here's a story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a red-hot hoochie-coocher.
Cab Calloway's Minnie the Moocher was a hit song in the early 1930s as WRM, now known as WYLL, entered its second decade. The station was broadcasting daily now from its own building on the U of I campus, courtesy of a wealthy donor. But it faced a new challenge as federal regulators worked to clear out interference due to too many stations broadcasting on the limited AM radio band. FM, TV, and the Internet were not yet options, so regulators started deciding which stations could broadcast on what frequencies, at what times, and with how much power. U of I professor emeritus and media scholar Robert McChesney says there were winners and losers in that process.
For the rest of the stations, including all the educational stations, they were put at lower power on signals where they had to share the signal with other stations in their community, including WILL. They didn't get the thing for the entire amount of time. They got it for a portion of the time, and then like maybe a station owned by a business would get 6 hours one day on the same slot.
WYLL's transmitter power was restricted, and it had to take turns broadcasting with two other stations on the same frequency. WYLL Director Joseph Wright expressed his frustration in a letter.
Those of us responsible for the direction of station WILL at various times seriously contemplated retirement from the broadcasting game. This is due solely to the fact that our power limitations so restricted our audience that we felt that we could not justify the expenditure of tax money to go ahead with the work, even though the total yearly cost of operating the station is absurdly low.
The Fleischman Feast Hour, presenting a variety entertainment directed by Rudy Vallee.
My time is your time. Your time is my time.
In 1935, Rudy Valley was one of the top names in network radio. And in that same year, WILL gained some much-needed stability. The Federal Communications Commission assigned the station to 580 AM, the frequency it still has today. In the decades to come, WILL would build a program schedule dedicated to both learning and culture, and reach out to other educational broadcasters to lay the groundwork for today's nationwide system of public broadcasting. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media.
You're hearing the original 1971 theme music to NPR's All Things Considered, composed and performed by Don Vagley. A few years later, he wrote a second theme, the one that opens the show today. WILL's Centennial Week continues tomorrow when we remember one of WILL Radio's long-running local talk shows, Focus 580. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says rain ends this morning, turning partly cloudy and breezy with a high of 59 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Caroline Kobzanski, Tim Shelley, Emily Hayes, and Jim Meadows. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow as we start our next 100 years.